Weil ist ein Horst in mein Lebensraum? Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And guess what, Zach?
What is it, Cassie?
Do you know what time it is?
It's like 4 o'clock.
It's time for us to kill Hitler!
Are you ready to kill Hitler?
Yeah, let's kill Hitler. Oh, my God.
Yes, today we are looking at Series 6, Episode 8, Let's Kill Hitler.
For real this time.
For real this time. We are really going to watch. We're really going to finish off Series 6 from here on out. What might you be expecting from an episode called Let's Kill Hitler, Cassie?
Well, I'm thinking it's probably going to take place during the 1940s.
Okay.
Germany.
Okay.
And there's going to be some killing Hitler.
You don't think it's baby Hitler? You think it's...
I think that that's cruel and unusual. At least if you're going to kill a child, wait till they're 18. Like, that's always my... Because, like, if somebody were to kill Hitler because he was a terrible artist, like... yeah. Babies don't... already born babies don't deserve to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's my way of saying I'm still very pro-choice. I was going to say babies don't deserve to die. And then I was like, wait, hold on. This could be very, we could get very political in this statement. But when you are a massive douchebag, like Hitler, then you can die. Yeah, you can fuck so
they're
right
gonna
off.
Get a they get a special case sometimes. But let's remember for a second where we had left off. It's been a few weeks.
I literally don't remember because the last thing I remember was Marshall Willenhallie facing the greatest earthquake ever known.
I'll do a little refresher for you. If you remember, A Good Man Goes to War was the last episode that we had watched of the classic series. So they went to go rescue Amy from being kidnapped.
You said classic series. I was like, the last thing we saw from that was...
Oh, did I say classic series?
You did say classic series.
Oops, I goofed it up. Sorry.
The last of the classic series was... Which, for those of you at home, that was me splaying my fingies out like one would if they had peacocks on their hands.
If they were making a hand turkey.
And if I was also a clown.
Yes, the last of the modern series that we saw was an episode called A Good Man Goes to War, where they went to rescue...
Literally have no memory.
That was where they went to rescue Amy from Madame Kavarian, who was the creepy eye patch lady that kept appearing in the walls.
Oh, that's right. And then her baby turned to goo.
Yeah, and then her baby turned into goo. And we found out that River Song is actually Melody Pond. And... That's literally where they left off. They left off basically.
Yeah, because there's no translation for pond in that one girl's language. So they chose the next best thing, which was
river
and song.
Yeah. So now we get to find out a little bit about Amy and Rory here, because this episode isn't, it doesn't like take place in the past, but it does feature a lot of flashbacks.
Question.
Okay.
When this was airing, how long was the wait?
It was about a month. It was about as long as we've waited.
Okay.
Yeah. So I believe, if memory serves correctly, that last episode appeared in mid-June, and Let's Kill Hitler aired either at the very end of July or the very beginning of August.
Okay.
So
they basically like took the summer off.
Yeah, they took some production time off, mainly because Moffat had wanted that little reveal of River Song being Melody Pond to be a twist that felt like it had some impact, would raise questions, let people think and wonder what that could mean for the story. And so now we follow up with that here and Let's Kill Hitler. And one of the things we're going to do today is we're going to meet the person they named Melody Pond for. It was one of Amy's childhood friends, whose name is Mels. They grow up together and they have their adventures. And originally this was going to be a Cassie Professi question, but it felt a little unfair. But I am just generally kind of curious, what do you think Mels is like for Amy to want to name her daughter after her?
Is this for points or just this is me yapping?
I can change it to make it for a point if you want to, or you can just yap.
No, thanks. Yeah, unless I'm really right. If it was me, because I've also had this thought a couple times where like there are certain people I've met in my life that at a very young, impactful age where I think, you know what? These people are very important in ways that they don't know. They couldn't possibly ever understand like mm-hmm. how important they are. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those people have just kind of disappeared mm-hmm. or, you know, everybody grows up and does their own thing. But like, I have always had the thought of like, yeah, I definitely think that if something were to have happened to them, I would consider naming a child after them so that with the hopes that they would someday be like this person that meant a lot to me.
Okay.
So I could definitely see the same of that for Amy.
Okay.
Where if she had like a very cool, like older sister type.
Okay.
They either passed on or life happened and they also just kind of floated away.
Now, when you say cool older sister type, do you mean like, oh, wow, they're super nice and friendly, well, or they're like,
I don't remember.
They smoke a cigarette and drive a motorcycle. They're cool.
Like, because I also, this is coming from, I genuinely don't remember if Amy has any other siblings.
Amy does not, no.
Okay. So, yeah, having that, because I don't know what it's like to be an only child, mm-hmm. as I have two older siblings. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine being in that position where you do have friends that have siblings and that's just something that you want, but you don't have. And then somebody else comes along that is that like pseudo sibling.
Okay.
So what I mean by cool older sibling is that person that's like, oh, wow, they're devil may care. They're just flying by the seat of their pants. They're so cool and okay. responsible and irresponsible and just, wow, I want to be just like them. Like when you're at a young, I'm sure you've had people like that yeah. in your life too, where you see them and you're like, I want to be like them when I'm older.
Okay. So you're thinking more like a devil may care, like too cool for school type.
You're putting words in my mouth.
I'm trying to make sure I'm clear. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Like I told you somebody that is not necessarily too cool for school. I mean, I'm sure because you said that. Yeah, let's go with it. I'm not getting a point for this. So whatever you fucking say, sure.
Okay. I was bouncing off the devil may care thing is what you had said.
Well, like I'm thinking specifically, I had a person like that. I won't say their name. She was the queen of the doodah parade in Pasadena, which was like a big deal. Usually people don't.
That feels like you pulled that out of a Sid Marty Krofft show.
You've never heard of the doodah parade?
The queen of the doodah parade?
Yeah.
That sounds made up. I guess it is made
it's
up.
It's not made. No, it's real.
Well, but somebody still, it's like a natural force. It's a made up thing, but it is real.
Yeah, it's just like the weirdo parade okay. in Pasadena. It's so fun.
All right, then. Learn something new every day.
But she was only 18 when she got like crowned.
Okay.
And I always thought that was so cool that she was just so confident and like so sure of herself. Mm-hmm. And like she also very thin, which I learned later on was because she was very not kind to herself. But anyways, she was that type of person where like she did very well in school. Like every teacher really liked her.
Okay.
Like she would do her darndest to make people like proud.
Okay.
Proud of her. So not so much a devil may care, but more a like
someone aspirational.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Well, if that's the case, let's get into the actual Cassie Professi here. Now that we know a little bit about what you might be expecting, let's throw you a little curveball here. In addition to going back in time to try and kill Hitler, we also meet the crew of a vessel known as the Tessalecta. The Tessalecta is a vessel that can change shape.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you multiple. I know this is kind of an open-ended question, so I'm going to give you multiple opportunities to earn a point here. What does it change shape into? How does it change shape, and why? If any of those three are right, you will get a point.
Are you dropping like multiple choice on me, or am I just guessing?
Go ahead. Just take. I want you just to like roll your way through it.
Can I know how it starts?
How it starts?
Yeah. Like, what is its first form?
Its first form is. It is. I'm trying to figure out how I can say this without giving it away. It is. Its first form is disguised in such a way that it can get through the German chancellor's like white or office.
Office.
Like, I don't know. Is it called the chancellor's office? You know, like they're.
Well, because that means then, because you said that, and I was like, oh, it must be some kind of motor vehicle. Mm-hmm. But if it's an office, then that's significantly smaller. Mm-hmm. Unless you're using the word office to mean something very big.
I don't know if they give the building's name away, but I think it's supposed to be the Reichstag. So think like Germany's like White House or Congressional Building. It's one of those.
Okay, but through, though.
Yes, through it.
Okay, that does change things, because then my immediate thought is like, what is something that is small enough that it can go through a space like that? Mm-hmm. And all I could think about is like a scooter a la Pixar or like a golf
cart. A moped.
Yeah. There was a behind the scenes look on a DVD mm-hmm. where that was like one of the coolest things that they had were these little scooters that they used to get around. Mm. And it was them showcasing like, look how fun it is to work at Pixar. Like everybody has these like cute little spaces and we have like cafes. And, you know, when you're a 9-year-old kid, you go, wow, that looks so fun. I want to be an animator. And then you learn, oh, they let their people do that because they're working literally 14-hour days. And that is the only way that you can keep your sanity when you're in a space like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But at least you get scooters. You get scooters and volleyball. You get 1 hour of playtime outside.
We'll let you see the sun for 5 minutes. Maybe. What sort of, I mean, you could also venture around it's also.
Because this is the 40s too. So I'm like, what even was around? Is it a horse?
Yeah. you think they're on a horse? Or you think they're in a horse?
Like very Trojan horse, like we'll take it literal.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're in a horse.
Okay. All right then. So that leads it to how do you think it changes shape?
Oh no! And if they're in a horse? Oh man. The horse gets a bath.
Yeah, to take the horse through a car wash. And
the horse is caught in a rainstorm, which is why it changes its shape, because it's in a rainstorm. Fuck. Ah, man. Ah, geez. All my whimsy.
And you think the how is basically it gets wet, and the why is that it gets wet.
Well, because it would be a horrifying.
It washes away the horse costume.
The horse visage. The water goes
turns
around.
Turns out the test selector is just one of those costumes. It's like one guy's the back half of the horse, the other guy's the front half.
Crap. Okay. Well, because the only way that I could think of you not being in a horse form is if the horse turns itself inside out, which is very apropos for a lot of the cartoons I watch. Mm-hmm. But this is not that. This is a family show. So I'm going to say that it's still in that liquid theme. Okay. How it changes shape is it like will liquefy and then like.
Okay.
Morph into another shape.
Okay.
That seems very hooey.
Okay, I'll take that answer. And then for your second question,
somebody fucking asks, why is there a horse in the White House? How there's did a horse loose in the Reichstag? Yeah.
And then,
yeah, why is somebody asks why the fuck there's a horse here?
Peter, the horse is here.
With that, let me get to your second question here. And I
guess if they're German, they'd be like, Peter Tag, das horse is here.
Piotr.
Das Horse is in
meinen
I know
Haus.
I can't do that good of a Lois. I didn't know until right now I could do a German Lois.
For your second question of your profassi today, and I think maybe the most important question I've ever asked you for any profassi, do they kill Hitler?
I said it right out the gate at the very tippy top, so I'm going to say yes, even though I kind of think no.
Okay.
But I also feel like there is special permission made when you are when you are a barnacle of a human being.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So barnacles are horrible. They're scary and gross to look at.
I thought you were saying you were making an exception for the doctor, and then you said a barnacle of human being, and I was like, the doctor's not either of those things, and now I realize you mean Hitler.
That's the thing, is that I don't feel like, because the doctor doesn't like to kill anybody. So it would be very strange for the doctor to say, no, we'll let this one live.
What do you say? Let's go kill Hitler with his little pointy fingers.
Yeah. It would be very odd to, because like, I just think of this as the same doctor soul spirit that that is and was Christopher Eccleston. You know that motherfucker would have been.
Who would have killed him with his bare hands?
Oh my God. So I think that it goes without saying that if given the opportunity, I think that the doctor would make an exception to his own rule. Yes, I do think that they kill Hitler.
Alrighty.
Or they kill some like alien version of Hitler. And so it's like, kind of is it.
All right. Well, let's find out together what, how, and why the Tesselect.
It's going to be a horse.
What, how, and why the Tesselect shape changes itself. And if they kill Hitler in Let's Kill Hitler.
I do it better.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by not being a fascist. That's right. Studies show that being a decent human being, respecting others, and not marching around with tiki torches dramatically increases your chance of not being punched in the face by a grandmother with a brick in her purse.
I made it myself.
Side effects may include empathy, compassion, and reduced facial pain. Try not being a Nazi today. It's free, fun, and legally distinct from being a jackass.
But I just wanted a pure ethno...
And we are back from Let's Kill Hitler.
Hey, Zach, we didn't kill Hitler.
No, we did not kill Hitler.
I mean, just by proxy of him being locked in a cupboard, which also the quote of cupboard, Hitler cupboard, is very silly to me.
There's a lot of good quotes in this episode.
There are lots of good quotes in this.
I wonder if that was what he spent that extra month doing, was just coming up with real quips.
Yeah, but some of my favorite ones were three words, which was cupboard, Hitler cupboard, and shut up, Hitler.
Or
very good.
Or a Heil punch.
Yeah, that's how we're going to take out all of the new Republican neo-Nazis. We'll trick them into heiling, and then we'll go in with a gut punch.
You got to just make Elon Musk send his heart out to people and then rip his heart out.
Oh, my God. He couldn't have hit his chest harder.
Well, what did you think of the episode itself?
You know, I liked it because I wrote a half a page of notes, which means that I was paying attention.
Yeah, it's a very well-paced episode for sure.
It's a good I did get lost a couple times, but it's because we're dealing with wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah. Especially with River Song.
Yes.
Involved. It's like the wibbliest and the wobbliest of the timey wimeys.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the episode too. Did you have any immediate takeaways you wanted to share?
I'm a psychopath, not rude.
I did sort of intentionally lead a little bit with who Mels is, telling you that Mels is who Melody is named after. Because as the doctor says, you named your daughter after your daughter.
After your daughter.
Yeah, which that's the only one where I'm like, this feels... Mels should have been introduced several episodes ago. This is going to be a thing you were going to do.
I did like them trying to explain it, like explain away.
Yeah.
That by saying, oh, I don't do weddings.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yep.
And she definitely has the attitude of someone who does not do weddings.
Yeah. Which I see now why you're like, oh, so she's like kind of a badass. In the Zachy way you do, where you're like, no, I'm not giving you an answer.
For what it's worth, I really wasn't trying to give you an answer. I was just trying. That's why I was trying to be clear, because when you started saying devil may care, I was like, oh, Cassie's going in the right direction. Let me just make sure that she's saying what she means.
I do still think that there is something to be said of like, there is that like big sister quality, or there is something with lifelong best friends. Case in point, I have a lifelong best friend.
Uh-huh.
And absolutely, if something had happened to her, You know that I would say, we're calling this baby insert friend's name here.
The only like real oversight of it is that I feel like discovering that your best friend is secretly your child would be a way like more emotional experience, especially on someone like Amy, who's already gone through a lot.
I do like her saying that the last time she woke up, she was
toddler in New York,
a toddler in New York, which means that she was Macaulay Culkin.
She was lost, but now she has been found. Basically,
in Scotland, of all places.
That was
now.
Just sort of them confirming that at the beginning of the season, when there was that small child at the end of The Impossible Astronaut. But it's okay. I've got a. I'm dying, but I've got a solution. And she explodes in an alleyway. That was. You're just confirming that was River.
Yeah.
But speaking about River specifically, there was a chunk in
to piggyback off of that.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a thought for a while. There is no reason for them to have not plugged Mel's the best friend in at any other point.
Yeah.
Or even if they had, it was not a memorable enough moment or quote.
Yeah, there wasn't. Well, they haven't really had any like adventures set in their modern time for Mel to show up. The time to have her come up would have been,
or even a mention.
Yeah, the time to have her come up would have been at the wedding, which is even Steven sort of acknowledging that, is trying to find a way to hand wave it away. But yeah, not having even a mention is also just a little weird.
Because having that moment of the little girl exploding in the alleyway does mean that there was legitimate thought put into this episode far before it was pen on paper.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Like there's, and obviously this was sort of like a buildup that they had been working on after the last episode, because the last episode was a lot about like Melody Pond is your daughter and I'm Melody Pond. And so this episode is a lot about like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And basically it's sort of them sort of reverse engineering a dramatic irony where this character that has, you know, a wife like energy with the doctor was originally meant to kill the doctor. It's a real somehow a lovers to enemies to lovers story they've decided to they wrote here.
Yeah.
Or an enemies to lovers story they wrote out of order. So I do feel like I had to do a little bit of lifting for the episode by telling you who Mels was, or telling you who they wanted Mels to be with this, like, oh, she's who she named Melody after. Because the episode doesn't say that until after it's already been established, like who Mels is.
I mean, it's also not like, oh, it's an anagram. Her name is Slim.
her name is Rearev Snog.
Yeah, it's not. You don't need to be smart to derive Melody from Mels.
Yeah, for sure. But speaking of her,
song to Melody, yes, but
yeah, I. Speaking of River, though, there was a part in it where I was really curious what your opinion on it was going to be, because I certainly have mixed feelings on it. But I it's right when Mels regenerates into River.
Yeah.
And spends like a solid 10 minutes of screen time, like checking herself out, where it's like first it's the hair and then it's the teeth. And but
I did like the acknowledgement of the teeth.
What was it? Was it just the new teeth thing, or was it
new teeth?
Okay, so it was that. I didn't know if there was something specific I wasn't knowing.
No, I just because that's what Tenet Doctor paid attention to.
Oh, the teeth.
And then spoiler, I know when he comes back, he goes, oh, same teeth. So I just really appreciate that that is one of the things that the doctor slash any regenerative person can clock immediately is different teeth.
It's a different mouth feel, different feel of their own mouth.
You know, I don't, you can't say shit like that, because then my immediate ADHD thought was, I wonder what the inside of other people's mouths must be. And not in like a sexual way, but in a genuine like, man, the inside of your mouth must feel way different from mine.
And I'll never have any way of knowing unless give me your mouth.
Yeah, but I don't want to feel the inside of it with my mouth. I want to know what the inside of your mouth feels like from the inside of your head.
Yeah, it's one of those like I want to know what this colors is, look like to you.
This is what keeps Moffat up at night, which is why he writes it into every script. New teeth.
The new teeth was Davies.
Moffat, yes, and it did.
Yeah, Moffat did, yes, and it. Speaking.
This is the conversation that Davies and Moffat had then.
When they were deciding what direction they wanted Doctor Who to go, and they were like, I'm thinking teeth.
I'm thinking new teeth. How about that? There is a part of me that's like, I get it. Of having River Melody into River running around for several minutes, just inspecting her new body, because that's a game that we all play of what would you do if you woke up one morning and you were in the opposite, like you were in a different body.
Yeah.
What would you do? And that is absolutely what I would do, is inspect the inside of my mouth, feel all my teeth, just, I don't know, feeling my teeth. I would see how hard I could punch things before it hurt. I'm a psychopath. I'm not rude. And, you know, touch yourself, because that is definitely something. It's not just me. It's not just the horny people out there. I got to defend us. There's at least two of them listening right now.
That was the part where I was having mixed feelings, is there was a level of like horniness to the way she was checking herself out.
Well, yes, I think that was also a diversion.
Yeah, it wasn't the like, hello, Benjamin, not that part.
Well, that, but that also alludes to that. That's all part of the same bit, as I think she is setting, this is a game she's playing.
There's
a psychological explanation. Yeah,
there's one part where it doesn't seem to feed into that bit. It just seems like Stephen Moffat thought of a good joke and ran with it. When River pops her head in and asks who River is, because she still thinks of herself as Melody. She goes, River, who's River? And Doctor goes, spoilers. And she's like, hang on, I need to go check something. And then when she comes back, she's like, oh, I'm going to wear lots of jodhpurs. Which, if you don't know, are riding pants.
I'm in costumes, you fool. Of course I know.
Sorry, I realize I'm looking at you when I say this. I'm talking to the audience as well.
Okay.
If you don't know, are riding pants, because she just saw her butt and thinks she has a great butt, because that's what she thought of when the doctor said spoilers.
I mean, I get that's a one very long-winded way to read into it.
That's the joke. The joke is she said.
You spoiler. Have confirmation on that.
That's the way they told it. There's a very like,
because I didn't get that at all. Yeah,
but that's the joke though. Is that when she says spoilers, she thinks of the tail end of a car, which makes her think of her own rear end to go look at, and then she comes back saying, "I looked at." And she goes back saying, "I'm gonna wear lots of tight pants."
I I guess.
It's like it's the way Steven writes. Like I
okay, that is your interpretation of it, though. That is not the one true. That is your
If I'm wrong, I'll eat a hat. Okay. I don't own any hats, so I can't eat my hat, but I will eat a hat if I'm wrong. That was one of those where I was like, this feels like it's trying to be too clever, but also weirdly sexual. It just felt, I don't know, it feels weird. But you didn't seem to mind that too much.
No, because I didn't get that interpretation at all, because for me, my understanding of jodhpurs, and I am correct, is that they have a lot of room in the hips. So I thought it was her more or less commenting on the size, or like on her, like
her hips.
Hips. Yeah. Her hip width, to be like, oh, heck yeah. Because they're also not the most flattering of pant to wear. And so I could see somebody who is absolutely enthralled in their new body being like, oh, I'm going to wear complicated clothes.
You know, I'll take that for sure.
That was my hot take on it, is her saying that she's going to wear complicated pants. But if you think that River Song is a fat ass, then that's your prerogative, I guess.
I really am confident that was the joke he was setting up there. But let's get off of that point for a minute and just talk about
we've spent more than 10 minutes now talking about
River Song's ass.
Yeah. I mean, I still stand by. My wife is beautiful.
she's a very attractive lady.
Yes.
This episode has a very interesting conceit with the Tesselecta.
Oh my God, the Osmosis Jones ship. Yes.
Yeah, the Eddie Murphy movie Meet Dave.
Oh my God, the jellyfish jump rope robots. You got their little like. Their little tentacles very jump ropey.
The antibodies.
Yeah. Those were full on silver painted jump ropes.
Yeah, I really
you
like
know the ones I'm talking about,
yes,
though, right?
Yes, okay, I do. The ones that clack along the ground so you know when to jump.
Yeah.
I really like the Tesselecta. I think it's a very interesting conceit.
It's one of those things where I'm glad that I have had this thought of, damn, wouldn't it be fun to have Doctor Who and Miss Frizzle fuck? Now, I know that we'll never get that, but I'm like, this is close enough.
I mean, there is a doctor and the doctor and a redhead. Pretty close.
They're not fucking.
No, they're not fucking. There is a. I really like not even just like the ship itself, but I like the conceit of when humans discover time travel, the first thing they do is go back and like rewrite their own history so that like, you know, yeah, we let Hitler happen and Hitler didn't end up like seeing a court. So instead, we just abduct him from like the last week of his life and torture him for a while before we dump him back in his timeline.
Like it.
Like there's something very.
It's very.
I don't know if it's human, but it's certainly American.
Like lawful neutral.
Yeah, very much so. Where it's like these people have become identified as the villains of history.
Because the Tesselecta is not abducting them from their time and removing them from history. Mm-hmm. They're just inconveniencing them for a while. And I just really like that they're tiny humans.
Miniaturized humans inside a large robot human.
Well, it was specifically when they get like beamed into the ship and they're in that first like holding cell. Mm-hmm. The space behind them very clearly looks and I believe is supposed to be the eye.
Yes,
because it's blue for the one like not horse man. And then it was brown when they were Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you were correct. He is not a horse. The Tesselecta, in fact, looks like people throughout history. It will shape change into a different person.
I was correct that it was a living thing, but it was so very much not a horse.
It was not a horse. At one point, it did have horse power when it gained a motorcycle.
Yeah, but I will even contest and say I don't get the point for that. I am upset I didn't think people. Immediately went well, because I was genuinely going to say that it was going to be like a car of some capacity.
Mm-hmm. You were thinking of vehicles.
Yeah
means of transport. Now I get that.
Yes, which is why I said horse.
Yeah, you were also incorrect. It does not get wet. It does not get rained on.
I How-
However,
said that it turned into a liquid of some kind. Yes, I would not have been able to predict.
Well, you, like I said, I was specifically referring to you saying it had to change back because it got wet. That was incorrect. However, what you had said was that it liquefies and morphs. While it didn't technically do that, I will still count it.
It was a particle simulator.
Yeah, I was curious if you were going to pick up on it because the name is Tessellecta and the way it shape changes is by tessellating.
I don't know what that fucking word is.
I'm
not a nerd. Also, I said that the why it changes is because someone asked.
Someone asked, why is there a horse here?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So that was my thing. And no, he didn't ask, why is there a horse here? But the one general does ask what he is doing here.
Yeah.
And I'm still unclear as to why he changes from janitor into general. Oh, I guess because you're going to go and kill Hitler.
Yeah, you need to get into Hitler's office somehow.
Does say someone asks. So I'm going to give myself another point for that. I think I'm correct.
I will end up giving, even if we want to say there are two half points between two half corrections.
How would I have said a word I don't know? I don't even remember it now. Like I said,
I'm perfectly willing to count the morphing thing. I think that totally counts.
Said you were going to give me the whole point, though.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a whole point. Yeah, you only get one point for the question, even if you got two of them right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was just saying, like, even if we wanted to say you got two things half correct, you still get a point. I thought this was a
possibility for 3 points. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, it was just okay, one. Yeah, okay. No. Just the 2 points as per usual. So you got your 1 point there, and as you've already stated, they did not kill Hitler.
I really am so upset at the fact that they don't. Yeah, they just lock him in a cupboard.
In fact, they do the opposite. They save his life.
But even the doctors like embarrassed that he didn't kill Hitler.
Believe me, it was an accident. There were a few of those little like offhanded quips from the doctor this episode. One of the ones that I there's a part of it's like I probably shouldn't laugh at that, but I do still find it funny when the doctor is talking about how River has just poisoned the doctor. And he's like,
River, I don't understand. Okay, 1 minute she's going to marry you and then she's going to kill you.
Well, she's been brainwashed. It all makes sense to her. Plus, she's a woman. Oh, shut up. I'm dying.
There's a part of it's like, I don't feel like the doctor should be casually sexist. On the other hand, that's very funny.
On the other hand, the doctor has historically been a little casually sexist here and there.
Yeah, there have been iterations of him for sure.
So this is not a surprise. He is a feminist. He is also a little sexist. I know we were getting a big kick out of what the doctor could have possibly been telling River.
Mm-hmm.
Find River Song and tell her something from me.
Tell her what?
Tell her something from me. I killed Mufasa.
Tell her something from me. I shitted.
One of my favorite little moments that I don't even know if you caught because it came out so fast was right when the doctor gets poisoned.
What's wrong with you? What's she done to you?
Poison me, but I'm fine. Well, no, I'm dying, but I've got a plan.
What plan?
Not dying. Oh. See? Fine.
Yeah, I caught that. It's very Matt Smith, doctor.
Yes, they really let him noodle up to the max on this episode.
Yep.
Partly because he's poisoned, and so he just gets to...
I was
going to
say, part of the noodling is him writhing on the ground because he is... He didn't realize that one of his feet was scheduled to take a nap, and he could feel the other one yawning. That's very Grandpa Matt Smith.
Yeah, one of my knees needs to take a power nap. See, I forgot I had it scheduled. And he's like flailing about on the stairs, like kicking himself.
Yeah, it's less writhing in agony and more dead fish or dying fish.
I like that bit. I like that he's doing it all in the suit from Amy's wedding.
Yeah.
Popped out wearing a top hat and a cane, a sonic cane.
He had time to change.
He had 30 minutes to live and he was like, I'm going to spend
31 minutes to live. He dies at 32.
I'm going to spend 15 minutes putting on my nice suit.
It was nice that we got a little cameo from our three past companions.
Yeah, there's a moment where the doctor activates a voice interface to try and talk about options. And the ones it cycles through are Rose,
Martha.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to go Freema. That's the actress's name. Oh. Yes, Rose, Rose, Martha, and I'm doing it again.
Donna.
Yes. Jesus Christ. My brain's just going to the actress. It's not going to the part for some reason. Yes. Rose, Martha, and Donna each show up, and the doctor keeps going, oh, no, I need help. Don't give me guilt. And then it's Martha. More guilt. And then Donna, even more guilt. Somebody, please. There's got to be somebody I haven't messed up. And it gives him young little Amelia.
I am surprised that one of the options wasn't Idris. That would have been nice.
Yeah. Or any of the classic companions would have been interesting, too. Especially if you're talking about, even if you wanted just to bring up.
God, they just flashed Jamie. Oh, no.
It's even the holograms in black and white. Like, honestly, the one that if you really wanted to keep with the bit of guilt, one of the doctor's companions was a
canine.
Canine would have been funny. One of the fifth doctor's companions was a child genius named Adric, who really is divisive for a lot of Doctor Who fans. But he did die. Like, he's one of the few companions that just like straight up dies while with the doctor. Cool. And so if we're like, if you wanted to bring up a character that would like give the doctor some guilt, even more so than some of the other ones, like, I think Donna and Adric are like the two biggest ones. Yeah, probably.
Donna, I feel like, is definitely very deserving of, but would make the doctor feel the most guilty. Rose, I mean, she's still got her kind of happy ending.
Yeah, she's got an ending
with Doctor Two.
Yeah, Doctor Two and another in a parallel universe
with her mom and dad, and
yeah, Martha, and Martha's dating Mickey apparently, or married to Mickey now apparently. So she's doing fine.
Yeah, because, well,
like,
because
why do you feel guilty for her? She just left.
Yeah, because Tom Ellis had to go and be the devil.
do we want to talk about that voice interface moment for a bit? Because there was another one of those where I'm like, I feel like you're being really. You're enjoying having some like cleverness in your dialogue, but you're also kind of just like not getting to the point.
There was a lot of back and forth when Amelia basically is saying, you will be
dead in 32 minutes.
Yeah, but I'll be alive for 31. Yes, you will be dead in 32 minutes. Yeah. How very Scottish of you.
You'll be fine for 31 minutes. You will be dead in 32 minutes. And then he keeps calling her Amelia. Even though she keeps saying, I'm not Amelia Pond, I'm a voice interface. And it just like, it sounds like this child is getting very irritated with him.
Like, there was a little bit of that back and forth. That's like, this is fine.
Well, it's also kind of funny to, because a few episodes ago, we met the TARDIS. So we know the TARDIS is a living person with thoughts and feelings.
I do like the idea that in that moment, she's basically going, I know you, everyone am I?
She's just getting really annoyed at her thief.
Where's my thief?
We're getting really annoyed at her thief for not like owning up to the fact that he's going to be dead in half an hour. But in that same vein, at the end of the episode, when River flies the TARDIS.
Oh, real quick, before we even get to that.
Oh, yeah.
How River poisons the doctor.
Oh,
with the Judas tree.
With a little smooch.
Yeah, biological warfare, baby.
Yeah, she says probably the worst kind of warfare, the kind of warfare you'll never understand.
Or like you'll never expect.
Yeah. And then you called it biological warfare.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, I go through that once a month.
Anatomical warfare.
Yeah. It's a real thing, dude. Poison gas. You heard of napalm. But this is the Judas tree, which is a real thing. I did look it up because mm-hmm. I was curious. They're kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm. I could literally find nothing about poison that wasn't also linked to a Doctor Who wiki. So,
well, it may not be the human Judas tree. It could be a Judas tree from space.
Okay, no, but the Judas tree is actually real, my guy. So,
yeah, fair.
But there was nothing from the one article I quickly brisked through. It didn't look like it was actually toxic. Mm. I just do like that they picked the Judas tree because of, you know, Jesus. And it's called that, fun fact, because allegedly that's the kind of tree that Judas hung himself after betraying the Christ.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The more you know.
Which also sort of happens with River here.
Kinda.
But instead of hanging herself, she just
sacrifices all of her remaining regeneration. Which I was like, damn, how long does her regeneration magic last? Because we saw it happen, mm-hmm. and then we saw her absorb the bullets and then splay them out from her body.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a modicum of fairness, there is in that first Tenet episode, he's asleep for a full like 12 hours, maybe longer.
Yeah.
And then gets his hand chopped off. He's like, well, I've still got regeneration energy. I got a fighting hand.
Yeah, I suppose that you can be a little flexible with the regeneration magic lasts for 40 or 24 hours.
Yeah, it lasts as long as the writers need it.
12 to 24 hours.
And so so there's a part of it's like, I think that's fun. I do think it's, if that's how he revived, that should have been a regeneration for the Doctor. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just because it feels like if the way you're being healed is by being given regenerations, you should regenerate.
Yeah. And also, does that mean that River Song is also like a cat? Did she have 9 lives? because like that was the thing is I know that we had discussed in the past that Time Lords have 13 regenerations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were established to have they're established to have 13 regenerations, and we are currently on the 11th Doctor. But as we've counted them, because you counted his little regeneration into the hand as one as well, so we're technically on 12 of 13 right now.
Yeah, and I know that there are more than 13 Doctors.
Yep, we're on 15 in reality.
So.
Mm-hmm. So we'll find out how that works out.
I'll explain that little gem. but specifically for the likes of River, there is a part of me that's like, okay, you have to explain it that way
mm-hmm.
to justify her being like super dead when you meet her.
Well, that's the interesting thing is you kind of didn't need to do that. Cause in that episode, they even specifically say that his regenerations wouldn't last through what River has to do. Like that was why River wouldn't let the Doctor do it, because the Doctor wouldn't regenerate in that case. So you could just say that River couldn't do it either.
Yeah.
And also that explains why River knew that.
Well, it just doubled down.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. It just doubles down. Why?
Because in the moment you're like, okay, that makes sense. She must know something that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she does.
Now, what's curious to me that we don't know is how old River is, because they just said she regenerated into a toddler. They didn't say how old she was before that.
Yeah.
So we don't know how long she's been around. Like, was she a child who regenerated into another child? Was she an adult that regenerated into a child who then regenerated into that infant form? Like, there's all kinds of things that happen there. It's very interesting.
I mean, there's also something to be said, too, if we did see Mel's growing up with Amy and Rory.
Mm-hmm. And that was, speaking of that, Mel's even makes a point like, oh, you got to raise me after all, Mom and Dad. I kind of wish they hadn't said that.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it had just been like, kind of a, oh, cool, as a thing like we think of after the fact. Like when you spell it out, that's one of those things where when you spell it out, it kind of loses.
Well, because there is a part of me that kind of likes that, because mm-hmm. then we do have, or at least for now, I'm like, oh, there's confirmation that we won't have to deal with Amy and Rory being parents
mm-hmm.
and like trying to raise a child.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing, the whole dealio from where we last left our heroes off to now was the Doctor running about throughout space and time trying to find Melody.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a part of me that's like, okay, cool. As far as I know, I don't have to watch these two new parents try to be parents while surfing through space and time, because that does not sound fun for me.
Yeah. I mean,
but it is a little on the nose in a way that's like, okay, no room for interpretation.
Yeah. Well, now in thinking about it, because when she regenerated that one time, that would have been during the Nixon era. So she said she regenerated into an infant in the Nixon era. So there's a good 40 years, or not, maybe not 40 years, but good probably 20, 30 years before she has to regenerate into Mel's.
Mm-hmm.
If my timeline's right on that, because she would have to be 20 something now. So that means she would have been born.
Well, because it was 2011.
Yeah, it would have been 2011. So we're talking about she would have needed to be born around 1988, 89 to be the right age here, give or take a few years. So I think she still would have had to live like 10, 20 years before regenerating into Mel's.
I thought Nixon was president in the... No, that was Reagan.
Yeah, that would, because he was the president in the 60s and 70s.
Funny, something not funny, but because I so heavily associate Nixon with Futurama, I think that he was president way sooner.
Way more recently than he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that there is a part of me that wonders, like, were there adventures that, like, Little River went on, like, when she was still Melody?
Yeah, and I kind of...
I'd like to see those. I think that'd be interesting.
Because that's when you had said that we would kind of touch on River's like early life. I thought that was the kind of stuff that we were going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, River.
And instead, a lot of it just kind of we do get a young River. She doesn't even call herself River yet.
Well, yeah, that's just like naive River, though.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wrote, is that this version of River Song is very different.
Mm-hmm.
This might as well be a whole other character.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely less warmth to her, which is very it's very interesting to watch her like reverse arc a character, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
It's very fun for Alex. I'm sure it's very fun for Alex Kingston to try and like figure out what parts of River she keeps and what parts she throws out. Well, because
it's also the like you still have this very like confident, like sly woman, but it is fun to see that confidence go from like, ooh, it's sexy, to like, oh, it's annoying.
Yeah, this like femme fatale energy, but now it's less like femme and more fatale.
It feels like when I work for those of you who don't know, I work at a mall now, or I work at a mall again, rather, because I was at a mall before.
Mm-hmm.
Some things just don't change. But it's very interesting for me to see that, like, in the morning, I see people walking to work. And there are some baddies that walk by my kiosk where I go, I want them to sit on my... I just remember your mom listening to this podcast. I want them to shake my hand real hard. I want them to step on these cans for me.
I want them to step... in front of my
face,
in front of my kiosk, so I could say hello.
But there are some of these people.
I want them to choke on their words from how flattered they are by my presence.
No, 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 no. But I do see them in like just their stride. They're like shoulders back, face forward, walking with so much confidence and so much direction and motivation that I'm like, I want what they have. And then I see not long after that a gaggle of teens trying to do the same thing, but they're wearing the same clothes that I wore when I was that age, which is a very odd place for me to be emotionally and mentally. Where I'm seeing literal children wear my clothes when I was a kid, but with the addition of so much makeup and skill to put on that makeup. But there's also something to be said of like, this feels unripe. You're still cooking. You didn't have to go through my... It's kind of mean. My mom calls it the ugly phase.
Oh.
Yeah, but it... because it is also a like mild, not term of endearment, but it's just the admission of like, hey, sometimes you just kind of go through your ugly phase, and then it just means that you're immature. Mm-hmm. You're not fully developed. And so for this River Song, this is her going through her ugly phase.
Mm-hmm.
She's just not all there. It's kind of like when you have a soup but you haven't added enough salt to it yet, you know.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's good but like it just tastes not Like, it's fine. And that is my overall take on this River Song, is she's fine.
Speaking about that early life, though, it was fun getting to watch Amy and Rory grow up together, too. Especially because that's a relationship we've seen almost exclusively, like, from when they're dating on. Like, there's not really, we didn't really get any hints at their previous life.
Yeah, kid Amy, kid Rory.
Yeah,
Rory just, being just kind of a doofy dude.
Just getting picked on at every opportunity.
Oh, by his, like, two best, friends.
Yeah.
He's like, who are very clearly much better friends together than they are with him around.
Yeah. He's like, I thought we were playing hide and seek. I've been hiding for hours. Like, that he's treated more like a little brother than he is, like, even a friend at that point, where he's just being like, go away, Rory. Or he's like,
oh, we just haven't found you yet. Okay. And then he presumably goes off to hide again.
And then cut to them in, like, high school or, like, college. Actually, they're in college because Rory mentions he has, like, a nursing shift. Yeah, well, because
they do show the different stages of Mel being called to an authority's office.
Yeah, to a head teacher a couple times and then into jail. And then Mel's makes a comment about Mr. Perfect, and Amy immediately thinks that she's talking about the doctor, but Mel's is like, no, him. He gestures to Rory, and Amy reveals that she thinks Rory's gay because he's never shown any interest in a woman around her, which, like, I don't believe that.
Like, I give her the benefit of the doubt of, like, if they're in their early 20s, you're dumb. Early 20-something year olds are dumb as rocks.
But I also, like, even if you told me that Rory has, like, the largest crush on Amy at this point in his life, there is no way on God's green earth that man went through a full decade of boy puberty and didn't for a second go, but what, at any other woman in his life.
Is this an experience you have?
Yes, of course. There are plenty of, like, times where I'm like, oh, I've got an active crush on this person. But also, that girl's got a booty. Like, I was a 12-year-old boy. Like, I'm not saying that I'm, like, that I was, like, actively thinking about cheating on people I was dating. But there's a part of me that's just like, but you're allowed, but you're going to think, like, someone else is attractive besides your partner.
How many times did you broadcast those thoughts?
I guess it's a good, especially around women, it's a little weirder.
Yeah.
I could understand that being an issue, but also if they're the only hangs out with.
Like, tables turned, I would never. 12-year-old, like, little girl, you talk about your crushes to your girlfriends, to your guy friends. You're one of the boys. I don't have crushes on anybody. I listen to the same music that you do. Please love me.
I do wonder, I feel like at some point Amy would have, like, tried to test the waters with that, though, and just been like, started talking to Rory about boys she thinks are cute, just to see if Rory would go, oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you should ask him out. No. My God, like in Win or Lose, the little cardboard heart, just please love me. That's just Rory. Oh no.
It's Rory all the time.
Oh man.
The only other point I really wanted to bring up is near the end. We talked about so it's sort of a funny thing here where Mel's gets in the TARDIS and apparently shoots the TARDIS. It's never really made clear why she shoots the TARDIS,
because the doctor said that she can't shoot the TARDIS, or like that guns won't work in here, and Mel's fully goes, bet.
That's right, I do remember that. Yeah, so Mel shoots the TARDIS, but that's really funny to think about. The TARDIS is a living thing. She just shot a person. She basically shot a person.
Yeah, she just shot the TARDIS in one of her ovaries.
But then near the end of the episode, when they get back in the TARDIS, River says the TARDIS taught her how to fly it, like how to fly it. She apparently can do that. I don't know if you remember this. This is from the Flesh and Stone two-parter, where they meet River and they see the Weeping Angels. There's a part in it where they're flying around in the TARDIS and River goes, well, I learned from the best. And the doctor gives himself a little shrug. Yeah. Like, well, I am the best. And then he goes, shame you were busy that day. And that's because it's true. She did learn from the best. She learned from the TARDIS, and he was busy dying.
That's very good.
Like, I like that he found a way to, like, remember his own thing and found a way to still justify it. Where she, I mean, this, because I think when I first saw that episode before this season had come out, I had thought that was like her just doing a jab at him to, like, take him down a peg. Like, it was just like, yeah, obviously the doctor taught you to fly the TARDIS because the doctor's the only one in the universe who knows how to fly a TARDIS.
Yeah.
But no, they're like, no, we're going to double down on it. It absolutely happened. And she was taught by the best. She was taught to drive a car by her car.
Yeah.
I do like it. I think it's one of the very last lines in the episode where they were talking about how Melody tried to kill him and then also then saved his life. And so the doctor goes, as far as first dates go, I'd call that mixed signals. And then this is the only one I'm kind of curious about. I like it as a bit, but the feminist in me wonders how a woman feels about it.
I'm a woman. I can answer.
They reveal that the reason River becomes an archaeologist is so she can basically track down the doctor at any given point. And the way they establish that is there's a professor who's like, why do you wish to become an archaeologist? And she's like, well,
I think there's a much better, different voice you can give the professor.
Okay. Well, tell me, young lady, why are you interested in becoming an archaeologist?
Thank you. That's exactly who I wanted to hear right now.
And she goes, well, to be honest, professor, I'm just looking for a good man. A good man who went to war. But that's one of those where I'm like, I do think it's clever. I also think that it might just be one of those where it's like, do we have to keep being like coy with her? I don't know. It just feels like too much sometimes.
That ending part just felt a little unnecessary.
Yeah.
Altogether. And not for any other reason than it just felt extra. Like, you could have just as easily have communicated that River was going to going to Moon University to study archaeology by like showing her with like a stack of books.
Yeah. Walking
and like looking up to the sky
and seeing the School of Archaeology and stuff. Yeah. Like that. I do like that the doctor is who gives her that journal.
Yeah.
It is a TARDIS blue journal. So that makes sense. I thought that was kind of cute, but there's a part of me that also just felt like it was just trying to almost not wrap up her story, but like wrap up all the loose ends of her story.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But, you know, I think it's a fun episode. Like, there are probably things where like the Moffat-isms are really like hitting a level 11.
Yes. But in a way that like the only things that I really keened in on that I was like, this is a little silly in kind of a stupid way, but like, I'll allow it, were the little antibodies.
Yeah.
That were just like, you'll experience tingling and then your ultimate demise. It might be uncomfortable.
Please remain calm while we kill you.
Like, there's a part of me that's like, that's so stupid that they're trying to like, again, lawful neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, these robots are doing a terrible job at trying to comfort and explain to me how they're going to kill me.
Yeah, but, you know,
like of the Moffatisms, I went, this is foul, allow it. This is silly.
It is silly. Moffat does do silly very well. And I think it's mostly because he seems to take silly very seriously.
Like, this is one of those episodes where I would say because if somebody were to ask what my favorite episode is, now that I have a wide enough knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like undoubtedly Blink. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay.
I think this would be a close second.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You thought it's
just because of how much, and I don't know. Silence in the Library was a two-parter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were talking singular episodes as opposed to a story. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I do really like River Song as a whole. So I like any story that features her.
Mm-hmm.
I specifically, the farther away we get from it, the more I like the introduction we get to River.
Mm-hmm. We might have to go back. Like when we get to sort of there's not the end of River's story, because she can come back anytime she wants to because of the way her wibbly wobbliness works out.
Yeah.
But when we get to what is
her known end? Yeah.
The conclusion of the story as they've written it for her.
Yeah.
When we get to that part, that might be a fun time to go back and revisit that episode and see how we how it sits with you. Because that's one of my favorite episodes to revisit, because I get to just feel a lot of Doctor Who feelings at once without having to like binge the whole series again.
Yeah. I mean, I even told you one of the things that I was looking for when I was trying to pick an episode for us to watch for Land of the Lost was anytime that there is a quote. And at one point somebody says, "Hey, who turned out the lights?" And so there's a part of me that's like, okay, I clearly like Silence in the Library because A, I remember what it's called. And two, because that is a thing I remember. And Where's My Thief? That's also another really good thing I like to quote.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fun times, and I'm looking forward to continuing them with you. On the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
I'm still so angry. We didn't kill Hitler! Shut up, Hitler.
I really feel like all TV shows would be improved by shoving Hitler into a cupboard. Doctor Who, Gilligan's Island, The Office, every single show. Even this podcast would be improved by shoving Hitler into a cupboard. If you'd like to support us in shoving Hitler into a cupboard, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. If you've got any ideas on how to make that possible, send us a message over on Blue Sky, Twitter, or Threads at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. And if you'd like to directly support the funds towards building the time machine that we will use to shove Hitler into a cupboard, come support us directly over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor. I've got to get to work on the schematics for a flux capacitor. So until then, we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.